The contents of the lab report are for educational purposes only. They're not meant to be misconstrued as medical diagnosis or treatment advice. ChatGPT, do you think that's an acceptable disclaimer for this one?
Yes, that sounds like a clear and responsible disclaimer. It emphasizes the educational purpose and clarifies that the information should not be taken as medical advice. Do you want to add any specifics about consulting a healthcare professional for actual medical concerns?
No, it's too wordy.
Got it. Keeping it simple works too.
Today on the Lab Report, we're going to talk about AI and healthcare.
How is it being used? How can it help? How can it hurt? What are the challenges and why am I scared?
If ChatGPT told you why not to be scared, would you be more or less scared?
More.
The world of medicine can be challenging. Clinicians and patients are always looking for more options, more effective treatments, and in the end, more answers. Functional and integrative medicine focuses on addressing root causes of disease. Here at Genova Diagnostics, we've watched this field evolve and grow for over 35 years. We've not only adapted, we've led. Join us as we talk about functional medicine, laboratory testing, and optimizing health. Welcome to the Lab Report.
So I was at the NCIMS conference last
yeah.
week,
mm-hmm.
and I met Lisa Hillman.
Yeah.
She listens to the show,
cool.
and she missed you. You weren't there.
Oh, yeah. I missed her, too. I was at a birthday party watching a bunch of 9-year-old girls try for hours to break a pinata.
Yeah, pinatas take a long time with girls.
Hello!
Hi, Michael Chapman. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Patty Devers. How are you?
I'm crushing it and living my best life as per usual.
I had to step it up from the wiffle ball bat, like the
uh-huh.
plastic, and I was like, I'm getting the T-ball bat.
Just get the flamethrower.
Yeah,
I mean,
seriously.
It's not opening up.
Anyway, this is a podcast. It's called The Lab Report, and it is brought to you
wow.
by Genova Diagnostics. We're powered. This podcast is powered by Genova Diagnostics.
It is.
Like,
yes,
literally.
Is.
Like,
yeah.
the power coming
Seriously.
Into the computers and
like
board.
Like the electricity
and
everything.
Yeah, it's powered right there. See?
Yeah.
And it's, like, quite literal.
Right.
And it's where we talk about things like functional medicine, specialty lab testing, integrative therapeutics, and the like.
And if you like this show, maybe follow us on iTunes or Spotify and leave us some stars, rate, and review. If you're new, welcome. We're so glad you found us.
Yeah, thanks for all that. And if you have feedback, you can send any additional feedback to podcast@gdx.net. That is our email address. You can send your questions of the day.
Yeah.
Any type of comment. You can read a disclaimer and literally send it as an audio file. We'll put it on here.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, we will. And if you're a consumer out there interested in what we do here at Genova and ordering some of these tests yourself and checking them out, head over to Genova Connect, which is connect.gdx.net. There you can order products directly and find a clinician to help guide your healthcare.
I'll say, Patty, we've been out and about a little bit more recently.
Yeah.
And we've hung out with a bunch of you, and it's been fun.
Totally.
Appreciate all of your comments and feedback and the fact that you're listening. Like, that's just hugely amazing to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also had some reviews. Should we maybe pick a
Ooh.
Couple reviews?
Ooh, let me check. Okay, while I'm looking, do you have, like, a jingle or some review music you want to look for?
You know I do.
Ooh, I like this one.
Let's do some reviews.
Yes. All right. There's a good one and a not so good one. What would you like first?
The good one.
Oh. Well, this is from Smiley Face. And it's 5 stars. And it says super duper awesome.
It's always good to hear from Smiley Face.
Yeah, super duper awesome. Just so good, exclamation point. Love Patty and Michael and all the wonderful guests, exclamation point.
Oh, thanks, exclamation point. I mean, smiley face. All right, I got one.
Okay.
This one is by Avocado57, and
all
it's
right.
titled, Good Info, comma, Annoyingly Amet, dot, dot, dot.
What does that even mean?
I think
amateur.
2 stars.
Wow.
Or is it immature, question mark?
Wow.
I just can't stand the banter, patter of the hosts like watching those presenters at award shows.
Wow.
And I just listened to the Berberine episode, which had excellent info, and then ended up with some bizarre musical overlay.
Hmm.
Like they were trying to sound like they were DJing in a club.
Aww.
Just awful.
Wow.
Practitioners like me find this very amateur and annoying.
Huh.
I see that some love it, not me.
Wow.
No, all kidding aside, Patty, we do appreciate all feedback, positive and negative. And it does help us like learn things about how to make the show better. So continue to send feedback. It does really help the show.
We even had some interesting conversations at the most recent conference about feedback on the show. So we literally, we love all feedback and we take it all in. So keep it coming.
Yeah. Anyway, what are we talking about today, Patty?
We're talking about artificial intelligence. It's everywhere.
What?
AI is everywhere. The word artificial intelligence, it's everywhere. ChatGPT is everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm afraid, and I think it's making us dumber, but I do know technology needs to evolve, right? I know that.
Does it?
I don't know. Doesn't it?
I mean, I don't think it has to.
You're right. I like to think I'm one of these people who could, you know, embrace technology, things that advance, look into the future. I like to think I'm that person.
Yeah.
However, there's something about AI that's freaking me out, especially when it's being talked about in the healthcare space.
Well, so I think this is interesting, and I think we should say like right up front that we're definitely not experts on AI.
Oh, God, no.
And this is a little bit probably going to be a different episode compared to maybe what people are used to, because really we're kind of just going to have a little bit of a chat on this, right? We're not experts. I mean, we can go looking, but it's also new that like it's speculative anyway. And so, you know, I think it's an interesting conversation to have. And I think there's a lot of places we can go on this.
I think a good place to start is when people talk about artificial intelligence, what in fact are they even talking about? And, you know, when I go to look this up, there are two different types of artificial intelligence, right?
Okay.
There's non-learning versus learning systems, right? So non-learning systems are, you know, data entry into some type of an algorithm, which gives you specific data. That's far less scary to me than a machine that learns and learns on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. And I think so. Those are kind of two major distinctions when at least so the term AI is used very loosely, it seems these days, and probably just because we haven't had it around and experienced it and worked with it enough to be more specific in the terms that we're using. But I tend to think also most of us nowadays have heard enough about ChatGPT and other types of kind of language models at the end of the day that we think that's what AI is, right? Like what ChatGPT is doing is what AI is, and that's not accurate either. Like ChatGPT is basically one form of AI, which is a language model. So it's a piece of artificial intelligence that can conversate and respond to your questions and your comments with its own thoughts and questions, comments. Thoughts is not the right term there, but its own information based on everything it's been trained on. There's also AI out there that can take different training from, you know, different art, graphic design, or different paintings, or things like that. There's or music. It's sort of like they're all these different avenues. So we just want to make sure we're kind of specific, and especially how it relates to healthcare. What are we talking about? Because ChatGPT or a language model's impact on healthcare is going to be very different than like a diagnostic AI's impact on healthcare.
And so when I think about the way something like ChatGPT could be incredibly helpful for the healthcare model, I think about, you know, think about educating patients or explaining something on a very basic level to a patient. I think ChatGPT can be helpful there, right? Just getting information across. The problem I'm having is, to your bigger point, it's taking the input that it's been given and spitting that out. So the question is, like, it's only as good as its input.
Sure.
Is that how you're understanding it?
Yeah.
So there still needs to be some bit of oversight over what's being fed into it, what data is going in, and then some oversight into is what came out correct.
Right, right. And I think sometimes when I think about ChatGPT and other language models, to your point, they've been trained a lot on online content and written content. And if you think back on it, like what percentage of that content was, say, coming from a naturopathic doctor's perspective?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like very little.
There's nuances that are missing.
And so it's going to have some degree, inevitably, you would think, of a bias based on just the overwhelming volume of content that it's been trained on.
But I do see how some of this could be helpful. Like even the non-learning part of AI, which can give you algorithmic data like prediction models or like specific chatbots that you can use for patient interaction for telehealth, like instructions or clarifying something, administrative tasks for your practice, for example, that could be, it could be helpful. It could save some time there. And I also think about, like, in the healthcare model, like claims processing or looking at clinical documentation, medical records management. So I see places you can use this stuff.
Look for the places where there's potential for a lot of human error, or at least a lot of occurrence of human error.
Correct.
And it probably can get in there some way to increase efficiency and reduce the inefficiency of errors and having to do resubmittals and things like that.
1,000%. Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense to me. But the place I get concerned is where it's like to diagnose something. Like, they use a lot of AI in radiology to look, to scan for tumors or to scan for things. And in my mind, I would hope, again, this is just my guarded way of thinking about it, I would hope that this is used in conjunction with a trained professional rather than replacing anyone at this point.
Yeah, but you know, that's interesting because when I think about it, even the non-learning systems, right, like an algorithm that's a risk assessment for whatever, whether it's, you know, you've got a risk assessment for cardiovascular disease based on the 10 results on your lipid panel.
Sure.
There's unpredictability, right? There's a percentage of inaccuracy. There's a degree of risk. Like, there's always a limitation.
Correct.
You know, nothing is going to be diagnostically 100% accurate. And so I think even with what you're talking about, say, like in a radiology department where a machine is evaluating images and, you know, trying to predict the likelihood of a certain diagnosis, I agree with you. I think there should be, a question mark, you know, when it spots something, and then having a human element coming in there and verifying. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that increases your diagnostic sensitivity and specificity. But let's be honest, it's not like that human element is going to have 100% sensitivity and specificity either,
and
right?
Just like you were just saying, when you're inputting things into a data system, what's going in there, there's a bias, which you just said. But then humans also have a bias, right? And mistakes can be made. So I think there's bias on both sides. Humans looking at things and missing things, or in front of a patient, even interacting with a patient, there's bias, right? Mm-hmm. So there's bias on both sides. Bias as to what's going into the artificial intelligence to feed it. Then there's also bias person to person. So I see it helping with efficiencies. I see it enhancing rather than replacing a lot of the healthcare that we have, cutting down on errors, helping patients understand. But I also know mistakes can be made by humans. Mistakes can also be made by machines. And then I think, where's the liability there? So if a doctor makes a mistake, they're held liable. Where's the liability of a machine? I think what I'm trying to say is something like ChatGPT. It takes all of these inputs from all over the internet and it uses that to spit out information. What if what ChatGPT spits out is incredibly defamatory to a person? Mm-hmm. And if another human said that, you could sue them for defamation, but who are you suing? OpenAI? I mean, who are you suing for defamation?
Right, right. And certainly those legal cases, like we're in the process of kind of trying to unpack that because of how new this is. I think in the realm of diagnostics, which is kind of where we're talking about, if you have a human radiologist who misidentifies something on an image, they're going to have potential consequences around the impacts of that misdiagnosis, potentially, if it leads to a negative outcome.
Right.
But in all likelihood, you have more experience in this than I do. Probably not. You know, like the fact that something on an image might look like this or might not, and they made a call, that's part of their job. And so I think when it comes to the liability, it's the hospital or whatever situation is employing a machine. They have the liability because they're using that as part of their diagnostic tools. But in general, the hospitals are pretty safe when it comes to malpractice if it's, you know, if it's actually during a surgery and something egregious, as compared to, hey, this was a misdiagnosis. We got it wrong, but we got it wrong in good faith.
Okay, then someone has a terrible outcome. Someone dies, for example, right? Then they're trying to figure out, well, what happened? Where did it go wrong? It's all so nebulous and hidden. This algorithm and machine ongoing learning that's trying to find this. It's like, how do you tease out all of those regulations? How do you tease out what's behind this this machine learning? I mean, it's murky. And then it's like, who's responsible for it?
Like, sure.
And I would say there would still need to be a doctor
right.
who's in charge of this, a radiologist in charge of this. So there will still be liability for someone signing off
yeah.
on this.
Yeah, yeah. And the information that trained the model typically is proprietary.
Right.
Right. And
right.
so like,
there's no transparency there.
Yeah. And that is a major, major concern. And so I agree with you on the diagnostic front, the fact that it has the capacity to increase efficiency. I think of it similar to when we added PCR parasitology mm-hmm. to our GIFX. And, you know, given the fact of all the hubbub around PCR and its, you know, sensitivity, specificity and all this. And we thought like at the end of the day, we were going to be picking up more things on parasitology. Or we would be picking things up on parasitology that maybe potentially we would have missed under microscopic O&P, but we never predicted that we actually would be picking things up on microscopic O&P that parasitology
Correct.
Missed on PCR.
Right.
Because there's limitations to that technology,
Correct.
Right? And so it's
Correct.
Sort of like understanding the limitations of all sides of things and then incorporating all the benefits so that you are, at the end of the day, overall increasing sensitivity specificity.
I have another thing to bring up about this. So you have a learning model, a learning machine model that you're using in healthcare for whatever, predictive for someone's risk of blah, blah, blah.
I hate blah, blah, blah.
I know. But
I think I had it last weekend.
The problem is that all of the data that feeds into that learning system is actual patient information that has confidentiality to it. Like, is there malware that could break in and there could be some breach of patient confidentiality in the health information that's feeding a specific model to create some type of predictive algorithm?
So you're saying the information, the data that the model is trained on originally came from people, and is there a security risk?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Now we're way out of our league on this.
I'm just saying.
I know, but what I would say, like everything that I've seen, at least when it comes to training these models around health information, and it's limited what I've seen, mm-hmm. but they have to use de-identified data. Now, that doesn't mean that the puzzle and the pieces of the puzzle can't be put back together again
yep.
somewhere.
Correct.
But yeah, again, that's way too massive for...
All right,
well, our small little minds.
I know, we're not IT peeps, but let me bring up another topic. Wearables, right? Everybody, all the patients out there wearing wearables.
We all got stuff stapled to us and stuck to us, tape.
Your smartphone.
We got needles in our
right.
biceps and walking around with stuff sticking out of us.
If you got like a Whoop, an Oura Ring, or even your Apple iPhone with all, there's behavioral stuff on there. There's fitness stuff on there that can feed into
my. Treadmills on the bottom of your shoes.
I'm just saying, all of these smartwatches, all of this data and information, that's also part of it, right? It goes and uses AI, and it gives you, it feeds into your doctor's file or whatever he's got in his computer. I mean, that's what mine does. Counts my steps, and when I go to the doctor or the health coach, they go, oh, what happened on Thursday, Patty? Didn't get in many steps. What'd you do? So it's all already happening, I guess. And I think a good way to think about AI is for things like behavior change. If it could send you a text alert and say, dude, you only got like 5,000 steps today. Get up, go.
Oh yeah, I love this. Let's see what comes out of here.
What?
All right, ChatGPT, I need you to create a super inspirational, motivational paragraph to say, get out of bed, get moving, get your exercise done. You can do it. This is for your own good. Like super inspiring. What do you got?
Sure, here it is. Every morning is a fresh opportunity to become the best version of yourself. Get out of bed, feel the energy in your body, and remember that each step you take brings you closer to your goals. Exercise isn't just about fitness. It's about proving to yourself that you are strong, capable, and determined. Embrace the challenge, feel the rush of accomplishment, and know that every drop of sweat is a step toward a healthier, happier you. You've got this.
But I'm just so tired, ChatGPT. I don't wanna.
I hear you, but remember, every great journey starts with a single step. Even when you're tired, pushing through can lead to incredible rewards. Just give it 10 minutes. Once you start moving, you'll find the energy you need. Your future self will thank you for making the effort today. You can do this.
Ugh, fine.
I'm sorry. That's a little bit creepy, but in my head, if I was sitting home on my couch and only had 5,000 steps, that might motivate me. That wasn't bad.
So yeah, I think from the perspective of what you were just talking about, there is a lot of engagement. There's a lot of things that can be leveraged for that way, from the language models and the interaction, mm-hmm. And the content creation. Like to your point earlier, you know, I do worry a lot about the fact that the information that it's getting is not comprehensive. It's all depending on what's feeding it, you know?
Right.
And so I do worry that, I'll say on one end, I don't worry that it's going to put me out of a job or anything like that. Because
I agree.
Because I think we in functional medicine, we look at things so differently that, you know, it's the models aren't trained. Like I bet you if you were to interact with a ChatGPT or some sort of diagnostic AI, it's going to be using the algorithms that are diagnosing the clinical conditions, the ICD-10s, mm-hmm. right, that it knows, right? It's going to be driving everything toward that diagnosis mentality, you know? Well, it's not going to be looking for necessarily root cause, or at least it's going to take a long time for it to incorporate all of that information.
I think that's fair. And I also think that here in personalized medicine, this kind of flies in the face of everything. This is the reason we all chose to be here. I wanted to get out of conventional medicine with all of the protocols, follow this step-by-step. Every patient is different. And so in my mind, if you're using machine learning and you're tapping into all these various algorithms, where is that personalization? It just feels like it's dichotomous. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just my interpretation of this. Maybe it's just already my bias being up against it. But I'm like, okay, where's the empathy? Where's that person in front of you as being this one person? I definitely see where this can help with a practice, with efficiencies, with billing, with making appointments, with claims for insurance. But something about it feels distant to me.
Yeah. So two things I would say with respect to that comment, because I think there's a lot there that we could potentially unpack and have smarter people on to unpack with us.
Uh-huh.
But so there's the human element, mm-hmm. which is real.
Right.
I mean, even physical touch mm-hmm. is very, very real.
Right.
The physical exam is something barely even being taught or right. referenced or mentioned and mm-hmm. has huge implications from you can learn so much about a person from some of those physical exams.
It's an art.
Let alone some of the things like pulse diagnosis from uh-huh. Chinese medicine
yeah.
and some of these other things that have gone by the wayside that provide you tons of different information on a different way to understand the patient. Like just think about traditional Chinese medicine as a whole. It talks about yin yang deficiencies, but it has an entire system. It has an entire model to understand a person in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm.
And so those things, I feel like now it's where it takes me to the differentiation between AI currently and what's called generative AI,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of the next step where not only are machines learning, but they're coming up with new and novel insights. Like they're creating information and connections that we don't have necessarily, because a body is so complicated. Just
right.
think about the microbiome, let alone all the things that are happening in every single cell. It's so complicated that we do not have the brain power to put all the pieces together, or at least we don't have the model to incorporate all of it yet.
But you see where that might be helpful, because we don't have that. So this data mining to make connections we would never have even thought of. Is that where you're going with that?
I am, but you have to make sure that that model is trained to understand why these things might be interacting and what
right.
the meaning is there. And if it's trained on the wrong whys, if it's got the wrong parameter set mm-hmm. up, then it's not going to be the capacity for error and misinterpretation, because everything is so complicated, is great.
Mm.
Right. And so if the system is not incorporating why a clinical presentation of eczema looks like this in this person, which actually might have an explanation somewhere rooted in traditional Chinese medicine, but because that model wasn't trained to know anything about traditional, it can't make those connections,
right.
then it's missing opportunities for one, but then it could be completely misinterpreting the why. And so I think that's where there's a lot of question marks for me. And when we talk about bigger and bigger and bigger data sets,
mm-hmm.
You have to be very certain that the algorithms that are putting that data back together comes from a place that has a sound foundation of understanding what causes disease.
But there are so many different ways to approach that. Traditional Chinese medicine, personalized and functional medicine, conventional medicine. So in order for that to be a perfect system, all of that needs to be taken into consideration. Do you ever foresee that that will ever, in fact, be?
I still think it's a long way off, if it were ever to come to mind. And to take it like as macrocosmic as humanly possible, perhaps. I remember I watched a very old school interview with Deepak Chopra on like public, like the local public radio, something or other.
Yeah.
And he did his, you know, wonderful presentation, and then there was a Q&A afterward. And somebody just stood up and said, Deepak, in your opinion, is it that mind creates matter or matter creates mind?
Mm.
And he said, without a single pause, he said, mind creates matter in all circumstances.
There you go.
And so, like, until we're able to even fold in that type of question, I mean, we don't have to have an answer to that question, but it's, the model has to take into account how the mind impacts the body, certainly, and all the various ways that it contributes to the manifestation of disease. Like, there's just so many components that it really will have to understand to know exactly how, what do we even call that diagnosis? Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not IBS.
Yeah, but in the meantime, that's all true, and I agree wholeheartedly with all of that. This is way off, but for now, AI is incredibly helpful for some of these administrative tasks that happen in a practice. It could be helpful with wearables to send text to patients. It's helpful for insurance claims and making appointments and things like that. So there is some use for it. But the ultimate of caring for a patient or giving meaningful information to a patient regarding health or wellness or disease is far off.
Hey, ChatGPT, we got a really just negative review on iTunes for our podcast. Can you just give me some words of inspiration to help get me through?
I'm sorry to hear about the negative review. Remember, every successful journey has its bumps along the way. This review is just one opinion among many, and it doesn't define the quality or potential of your podcast. Use it as a learning experience to grow and improve. Keep believing in your vision, stay true to your mission, and remember why you started. Your passion and dedication will shine through, and your audience will feel that. Keep going. You've got this.
What's a good song I should play right now?
How about Eye of the Tiger by Survivor? It's a classic motivational song that might give you the boost you need right now.
Yeah. Next time on The Lab Report, Ian Craig.
Nutritional therapist, exercise physiologist, and founder of the Center for Integrative Sports Nutrition.
And I'm going to try not to do my Scottish accent in front of him.
Oh, please don't. Please don't.
You've been listening to The Lab Report. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our podcast, rate us, and leave us a review. To learn more about Genova Diagnostics, visit our website at gdx.net. There you'll find information on specific testing, educational resources, and how to connect with our show. Call us at 1-800-522-4762 or email us at podcast@gdx.net.
So we're at the end of June. And I've been waiting with bated breath for you to come in for the final time where you run over a hornet's nest with your lawnmower. It's not happened this year.
Okay. So we located one this weekend,
however. Oh, okay.
So this is
Because it happens
every
year.
It just so happens that they did not do it in my backyard. They did it in the common ground.
Oh.
And so now, but I still have to take care of it. We located it.
Yeah.
But for the sake of the people who are responsible for mowing the common ground, I don't want any of them to be injured. So, I do get to suit up and I get to kill some freaking yellow jackets, though.
But it happens every year. And I've not seen you come in complaining about being attacked by a swarm of hornets.
Well, I haven't really mowed.
Oh.